Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity who are living on the planet Earth, listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 25th day of February 2021. And I am holding back a laugh right now because I just got a text from a dear friend of mine that I have not heard from in quite a long time. And he knows one of my guests, at least one of them. Maybe he knows both of them. But his name is Ed Moore, pastor of North Shore Baptist Church in Bayside, Queens, New York. But I will mention what Ed had to say in a little bit. He is a nut, I can tell you that. Excellent preacher and teacher, but also a nut. But today we have a returning guest on the program, and we also have a first-time guest on the program, who both together are going to be addressing a very vital topic. First, we have returning to the program Ryan Denton, who was a pastor on the Navajo Reservation before starting Christ in the Wild Ministries, which he has directed since 2016. And he is also an author and an outdoor evangelist, or an open-air preacher and evangelist. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ryan Denton.
Good to be back, Chris.
And tell our listeners a summary description of Christ in the Wild Ministries.
Sure. So we are intentionally engaging the lost outside the church on a regular basis, 5 or 6 times a week at abortion clinics, college campuses, downtown areas, homeless shelters and jails, pre-COVID anyways, and cause now they won't let us in. But yeah, so we are, we do everything. We try to funnel everything back into the church. So, we don't see ourselves as autonomous necessarily. You know, we are, working to, equip the saints and also to get the lost people into churches and discipled and things like that. And so, but yeah, primarily evangelism outside the church walls.
And if anybody wants to look up more information on Christ in the Wild, go to ChristInTheWild.com, ChristInTheWild.com. And for the very first time on this program, we are featuring Jerry Doris, who is pastor of Reformation Church of Shelbyville, Kentucky, which is a confessionally Reformed Baptist congregation adhering to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Jerry Doris.
Thanks for having me on, brother. I appreciate it.
Why don't you let our listeners know a little something about Reformation Church of Shelbyville, Kentucky?
Sure. Reformation Church is, I would call us a church plant. We kind of came out of a church plant shrub, I guess. And I had been called the pastor, I think it was in 2014. And just as we met and stuff, we were Southern Baptists at the time, and I just talked to the brothers about we needed to do something different. We needed to be more forward with our theology. And I don't know if you know the typical route of being Reformed, but holding, you know, being a Southern Baptist church, it's kind of hard to you get people come in, they find out that you believe in the doctrines of grace, and then they leave. So it was, we decided to replant our church, change our location, change our confession, change our name, everything. And we replanted on the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation in 2017. And the Lord has really blessed this effort. And we're just super encouraged by how the church has grown, but more just to see our membership engaged in evangelism, engaged in confronting our culture with the gospel.
There's a lot of people who are outside of confessional Reformed Baptist circles or outside of confessional Protestantism in general. They scratch their heads and they're wondering why, hey, you got the Bible, which is inerrant. Why do you need this confession? I mean, are you adding things that are forced to be believed upon your members that are not in the Bible? I mean, people come to all kinds of conclusions because they are speaking, and I don't mean this as an insult, but they're speaking in ignorance just because they don't know. There are things I am ignorant of. In fact, everybody who knows me well knows I'm ignorant of a lot of things. But tell us about what it means to be a confessional church, just so people don't get the wrong idea.
Yeah, well, confessional in the sense that you can know what it is that we teach as a church, how we understand the scriptures, how we are going to explain and teach. Everyone who comes into the church can quickly understand where the leadership's going to go. Whether I'm in the pulpit or someone else is in the pulpit, the teaching remains the same because we all hold to the same confession. And we've adopted the 1689 as opposed to, other confessions, because for us, the 1689, I liken it to orange concentrate, you know, the kind that your mom would get, the frozen kind.
A lot of people listening have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, a lot of younger people, okay. I should say.
I just aged myself, I think. But, so it's really, the 1689 is really concentrated in its theology, and so it's very helpful. Members of our congregation actually read it from a devotional standpoint. They will read it, and just it helps them to articulate and to understand. So, if that answers your question. But.
Yes, I have, in fact, always been a member of a, as long as I've been a born-again believer. I was raised Roman Catholic, but was saved out of that in the mid-1980s. And thankfully, providentially, I was saved in a Reformed Baptist church. Although it was not confessional at the time in an official sense when I was saved there, it very soon after I was saved by the grace and mercy of God, it became a confessionally Reformed Baptist church. And I've been a member of confessionally Reformed Baptist churches ever since. And as I was saying to you earlier, before we even went on the air, Jerry, you are a first-time guest, so we have a tradition here. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we give a portion of the show to allow that guest to give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances or sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So if you could give us a bit of your story.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, I was not raised in a church home, or my father actually left our home when I was really young. I like to shock people by letting them know that I had smoked marijuana when I was 8 years old. It was the first time. It was just, that was the culture that we lived in. My mom remarried when I was a teenager, and she remarried a man who was very charismatic and began taking us to church. So I was drugged to church, kicking and screaming, really. Through that process, though, was confronted with the gospel. I was actually at a charismatic revival meeting in 1984, when the Lord arrested my heart. I was convicted of my sin, heard the gospel, even with all the trappings and all the what I would consider now false theology, still God regenerated my heart. And I was on fire for the Lord. I remember starting high school soon after that, and was literally open air preaching in the school. There was an annex in our school, and me and another buddy, we would go from one end to the other, and he would yell at me and say, "Hey, Jerry, what must I do to be saved?" And I would yell back the answers to him, and so we would do that back and forth, and we were just radically saved. The Lord has just providentially moved me along the path. I felt like the Lord was calling me to go to the mission field. Went in 87, went to Urbana 87, and felt some direction to go to Turkey from that, and then went to Bible college, met my wife. She and I went to Turkey as missionaries. I can summarize it this way. So the Lord is transforming my heart theologically along this path. And I can genuinely say I feel like I've been saved five or six times, where, like, when you are confronted with the doctrines of grace, it's like, was I ever saved prior to this moment? But yet there's fruit. And so I look back on my life in that way, and just am thankful that the Lord continues to save me, continues to bring me along, and just very thankful to Him.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that people who, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but if anybody wants to look up more information about Reformation Church in Shelbyville, Kentucky, go to refchurch.com, refchurch.com. That is the church where our guest, Jerry Doris, is the pastor. Now, I mentioned him earlier. Jerry, do you know Ed Moore?
I don't recall his name, and that I hope I don't offend him if he...
I thought that he knew you, because it was just a strange text to get. See, Ed has got a very strange sense of humor, and... Okay. Some of the things that he says aren't necessarily on their face very funny, but if you know him and if you ever saw his facial expressions while he was saying a certain thing, you might find him hilarious. But this will date you if you know who Doris Day is. He was doing a play on words here, because your name is Jerry Doris. But he says, "Today is a very special day. In fact, it's a Doris Day, so que sera sera, ladies and gentlemen." And he says, "Let me start off by asking, do you believe whatever will be?" So that was our contribution from the insane Ed Moore of North Shore Baptist Church in Bayside, Queens, New York. And believe it or not, that song actually came up in a sermon by a very powerful Reformed Baptist preacher years ago. I don't know if either of you have ever heard of Emresh Cimaroth, who is a pastor in Trinidad, but I could still remember him in his very thick Trinidadian accent yelling very loudly, warning against the que sera sera of hyper-Calvinism. So that's something that we should never believe. Whatever will be, as if we are fatalists. But the issue today is, as I mentioned before, the key elements of true evangelism. And let me start with Ryan. Ryan, obviously, since we are titling this message, "The Key Elements of True Evangelism," there must be something that is a false version of that. In fact, I have a feeling my two guests would agree that in the 21st century, the majority of evangelism that we hear in Christian media, that we hear on Christian radio, that we see on Christian television, that we read in the most popular Christian books, is false evangelism. And I am not broad brushing. Of course, there are many true pastors, true churches, true authors, and true evangelists that are faithfully and biblically evangelizing, preaching the gospel. But obviously, in our day and age, the church has become more and more like the world, and has become more and more concerned with pleasing the world over God. But would you agree with that assessment, Ryan? And if you could, before we go into some of the key elements, perhaps even give us a broad comparison and contrast the true evangelism with the false.
Sure. Yes, I certainly agree with that. And I think the majority of Christians are probably doing it naively. And I'm sure we'd all agree on that, you know, that it's not, they're not doing it maliciously or with any kind of intentional negative reasons for doing it. But it comes down to theology. And, you know, the like we've been talking about before on past episodes, as far as just what the motive of evangelism is. And if the motive, if the primary motive of evangelism is conversion, now we all want to see conversions, but if that's the primary motive, then the means will justify the end. And so that's what you see in most evangelism whenever it's done in America today. You see really literally, quite literally, whatever it takes to get people converted. You know, in my context, I just heard a guy talking the other day how he was saying, you know, there's certain open air preachers that are Pelagian and some open theists, and they see it as, you know, whatever it takes to get a big crowd, you can do. You know, so if you need to call some people some bad names, if you need to be really vulgar, if you need to, like, whatever it takes to get the crowd, and then when you get the crowd, you do whatever it takes to get the person converted. And if the person gets converted, then it was all worth it. Whereas true biblical evangelism starts with the Bible being sufficient, and you know, in all things, especially when it comes to evangelism. And so we look at the Bible and we say, okay, what is God's means for saving people? How does this work out? What's the chief end of evangelism? Like, what's the primary goal here? And the primary goal in biblical evangelism is glorifying God, sharing the gospel, leaving the results to God, because God's the one who converts people, and Christ's sheep will hear his voice and follow him. But it's not do whatever it takes to get somebody saved. It's we're going to glorify God, and God is going to save whom he wants to save. And he does save. I mean, the history of Christianity shows that, the history of the church. It's a matter of being faithful to what God has said while doing evangelism, and that brings honor to God, and that trust, you know, the trust in God is what's ultimately our goal.
What you just said reminds me of something that occurred many years ago. I believe it was in the 1980s, and it could have been in the early 1990s. I don't know. I can't remember which. I was a young Christian, I know that, but my Roman Catholic sister, Mary, said that she wanted to go to the Billy Graham Crusade that came to the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. And I explained to her that my church, where I was a member, Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, which later became Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Merrick, I explained to her that we as a church did not participate in the Billy Graham Crusade because of compromises that the crusade ministry and Billy Graham himself were involved in that we believed were very heretical and very dangerous. And one of those things was ecumenism that Billy Graham has even had on the podium with him, Roman Catholics, and even liberal Protestants that deny the pillars of the faith. And basically, pragmatism was a key element of the Billy Graham Crusade Association, and likely still is. In fact, if someone came forward, or someone comes forward, at one of the crusades, I believe they are likely going to continue something in that fashion, even though Billy Graham has gone home to be with the Lord. But if someone came forward to receive Christ, you were told as a counselor, you were forbidden as a counselor to refer that person to a Bible-believing church or any particular church. You had to send them back where they came from, which is insanity, in my opinion. But I told my sister that I would attend this crusade with her, since she was very interested in going, and the Catholic Church was promoting it. And I told her I would go with her so I could try to answer any questions she had after it was over. And when we were taking a bus there with a local Baptist church, and I was saying these things to my sister about the ecumenism and so on, and I said to the pastor of that church that was across the aisle from me, and again, this was not my own pastor or the church where I was a member, I said to the pastor, "Do you agree with my assessment of the Billy Graham crusade?" And he said, "Yes, yes." I said, why is your church officially participating? Souls are getting saved, brother. Souls are getting saved." So he was actually a counselor, and he would obey the rules, not to prefer people to a particular church. So that's a very tragic and disturbing reality, isn't it?
Right, and with Billy Graham, I think later on he ended up saying something like he would be surprised if 5% of the people that came forward were actually even saved. And so I don't know where that is. I think I read that. Ray Comfort has a book called I forgot the name of it now. Your Best Life Now, I think it's called, and it's a really good book. It's about the really,
that was a Joel Osteen title.
well, yeah. Well, see, he intentionally did it that way so that you would pick it up thinking, "Oh, okay." I think it's actually called "God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life."
Oh, okay.
That's what it's called. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, but it's the idea is, you know, he basically demolishes the idea that it's about numbers and it's about you know, that Christianity is about easy believism and having your best life now. So, but he mentions that quote in there from Billy Graham. So, I totally agree. I mean, that's what we're dealing with.
You have anything to add, Pastor Jerry?
Just that strikes home. I remember having a young man who I was in high school with that we went together at that time to a Billy Graham event near our area, and he supposedly gave his life to Christ and, you know, went through the whole process of decisionism and I Facebook reconnects you with these people, and he's an atheist to this day. He hates the things of God. He was so burned on it because he was told something was going to happen and nothing happened, and so he was left hollow. And blames that, thinking that that is the experience of all those that profess Christ, and that it's just a bunch of charlatans that are out there, never experiencing true regeneration, never being confronted and being undone by his own sin and being rescued by Christ.
And just very briefly, because we don't want to derail the main topic, but Ryan, you had mentioned before Pelagianism. And Pelagius was someone who believed that humans were born without the taint of original sin. He did not believe in what the reformers would later refer to as total depravity. He believed basically a person was born as a clean slate. And he did not believe in the necessity of grace for someone to come to belief in Christ. And even the Roman Catholic Church, which is well known to be a works righteousness false church, a church that teaches a false gospel of works righteousness, even they condemn Pelagius because of his denial of the necessity of grace and also the denial of original sin. But you could barely distinguish today your average Roman Catholic from a full-blown Pelagianist. Would you even agree with that statement, that extreme statement?
Sure. Yeah, no, sure. Aside from the fact that the Roman Catholic, as you would know, they will say that you're born with original sin, but baptism removes that, infant baptism removes that,
right,
that original sin. But you know, with even Pelagians, I mean, you know, we usually don't see a lot of Pelagians, I would say, in evangelicalism, but semi-Pelagianism, that's certainly very prevalent, and I mean, that's just your typical Arminian view of human nature, and it's I would describe it as grace, they would say grace is crucial in salvation, but the initial steps toward Christian faith are to be taken by the free human will, the libertarian freedom of the human will. And so, you know, it's kind of like, so sin is prevalent, you know, sin, most semi-Pelagians would, of course agree that humans are born in sin, but that there's still an element of them that's capable of responding to the message. And of course, what they're doing is they're protecting God, because if somebody ends up going to hell, they're protecting God from being accused of the one who's sending them there. And we would agree with that. You know, we don't agree that, or we agree that the reason people go to hell is because they, you know, their nature is one that loves sin and acts on that sin. And so they're in hell because they deserve it. But, you know, we would disagree that it's the freedom of the human will that actually saves someone. It's, we would say that God changes their nature so that they believe in Christ, so they have faith in Christ. But it only comes to the new birth, regeneration first, before they have faith.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody has a question of your own, you can send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you hear something that you recognize that you are beginning to develop beliefs about evangelism that are in contradiction to your own pastor, your own congregation, your own denomination, and you'd rather not identify yourself publicly yet. I understand that. Right? Maybe you're even a pastor and you're going through that same period of questioning, or you've actually fully come to abandon the belief about evangelism or beliefs and the practices of evangelism that are endorsed by your co-elders in your own church or your denomination. Well, we would understand that you don't want to identify yourself perhaps at this point, but if it's just a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Ryan Denton and Jerry Doris after these messages on key elements of true evangelism.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability,
and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, when you contribute a minimum of $35 to the Historical Bible Society at historicalbiblesociety.org, you will receive, in return, a 44-page book, 9 by 12 inches in dimension, on the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It is an absolutely beautiful book that looks as if it is printed on parchment paper. The genealogy of Jesus, which is included on every page includes genealogies that are directly printed from a first edition 1611 King James Bible that is a part of the Historical Bible Society's collection that they bring with them when they have presentations at churches and schools and other organizations. Well, these prints, as I said, are taken directly from this first edition King James Bible, 1611. And so the artwork is very beautiful. The whole look of the book is beautiful. And you will get that 44-page, 9-by-12-inch book on the genealogies of Jesus for your donation of $35 or more to historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org. And we want to thank Dan Buttafuoco and the Historical Bible Society for renewing their advertising contract right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, we are back with our guest today, Ryan Denton, who is founder of Christ in the Wild Ministries, and Jerry Doris, pastor of Reformation Church of Shelbyville, Kentucky. We are discussing key elements of true evangelism. And if you have any questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Ryan, perhaps you could start this portion by giving us some key elements of true evangelism. I especially want us to cover things that you may know that we did not cover in previous interviews on related subjects that we ran out of time to discuss, and you were chomping at the bit to bring them up. Keep that in mind throughout the broadcast. But why don't you tell our listeners what you believe the Bible teaches about elements that must be present if evangelism is going to be truly faithful to the Scriptures?
Sure. So I would say, starting out, motive is obviously important. So if you're thinking of Roman Catholics, or actually Roman Catholics is included, but think especially of the LDS, the Mormons. In fact, we had two come to our house yesterday, or Jehovah's Witnesses, and we see them evangelizing a lot. And Roman Catholics are at the abortion clinics a lot, you know. And the motive, now granted, they would not agree to this necessarily, but the motive in part for them is salvation and a right standing with God. And so, in other words, the motive for them in part is, I have to do this to please God. Otherwise, the Jehovah's Witnesses, in fact, if they don't evangelize, then they don't go to heaven. And so for us, the motive is not being right with God. The motive is, I'm already right with God, and so I do it out of thankfulness to God for what he's done. And you see some of this in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission passage. And one of the glorious things about that passage is that it begins by Christ saying, all authority in heaven on earth, in heaven and on earth belongs to him. In the very end of that, he says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so he begins by saying, look to him, look to Christ. And he ends by saying, look to Christ. Remember that Christ is with us. And so, evangelism has to begin and end with Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's kind of elementary in a way, but a lot of times I think we forget that, and we try to operate according to the flesh, according to our own wisdom, according to our knowledge. And I think that's what debilitates a lot of people from evangelizing, because they think, well, I can't evangelize because I might encounter somebody who's smarter than me, who makes me look dumb. I might encounter some persecution. Whereas if you look at what's going on in Matthew, these disciples were about to go up against the world with the gospel, and they literally had nothing going for them except Christ. And so if they can do it, the point is we can certainly do it, but we have to be looking at the same thing that they were looking at, which is Jesus Christ. And so the key principle of evangelism as far as the beginning of it is Jesus Christ, and in fact our worship of Christ too. They worship him before he sends them out. They're worshiping him on the mountain there in Matthew 28. And so that has to be our foundation for everything. Trusting in Christ, relying on Christ, knowing this is his work. He's going to build his church. He's going to use us, and looking to Christ in everything we do, and watch him work.
Now, Pastor Jerry Doris, as you know, being a Reformed Baptist pastor, I'm sure you have likely heard things from other evangelicals who are not Reformed. You have heard them say things that would basically amount to, if they were to hear the title of today's discussion that we are having, they would say, you have Calvinists, three Calvinists discussing true evangelism. That is the absolute worst source of truth on evangelism, because that is the most aberrant and horrible element of Calvinism, of Reformed theology. It's devoid of evangelism. There is no passion for the lost. There is no concern for people to believe and repent, because it's all programmed like a computer. God is just using us all as chess pieces and puppets, so nothing that we do even matters, and on and on and on I could go. But isn't this Pastor Doris, the antithesis of what historic Calvinism has always taught, and what true Calvinistic pastors, preachers, evangelists, and missionaries have always believed? It's the antithesis of that.
Absolutely. We have such a rich history, too, that we can look back on and heritage of Calvinistic evangelism. We evangelize because we are assured success. And by that, we are always glorifying him. We are always worshiping him. We are participating in what he has set forth to happen. And Ryan's book, Even If None, we go out because we are worshiping him. So the Calvinist evangelist is, for us, when we go, it is an act of worship. We want to have joy when we explain the gospel, when we are used of God to minister in whatever way he sees fit to use us. And by success, we often want to talk about the effect is twofold. There are those that God is going to call to himself if he sees fit, but there are others that are hardened in their sin as well. And so the evangelist is always, he is always doing what the Lord has commanded. And so going to Ryan's book title, even if none come to faith, we have the assurance of that, that's going to happen. It's glorifying. Worship is glorifying. Worship evangelism is glorifying. Evangelism is worship. It's obedience. That's how we view it. So we often, we get that pushback as well, and I just kind of open up and say, well, this is what we do as a church. So, just to show you that evangelism is happening. We are engaging the world all around us. And so it usually shuts the mouth to see that there is evangelism occurring.
Now, and let me go back to Ryan, and of course, Pastor Jerry, you could chime in as well. But isn't one of the elements of true evangelism the declaration of the vital truth that we are all sinners deserving of hell, and the one and only cure, our one and only hope, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified? There is much of modern day evangelism, and it's not just 21st century, it's been going on for quite a while. But the way that Christ and the so-called gospel, which is really no gospel at all, is often presented under the name of evangelicalism today in mega churches and in TV and on radio and perhaps even small local churches that are hoping to get big. Jesus Christ is really just an add-on to make your life happier and more fulfilled, to make your marriage better, to make your relationship with your children better, to make you a better employer or employee. It's not really the fact that people are going to be in hell because they deserve to be and they need Christ. Do you think my assessment is right?
Well, it's theology. When it comes to, one of the things that I guess was most obvious to me as far as Calvinism was concerned was what the Bible says about man, and how the Bible says none seek for God, and there's none who does good, no, not one. None are righteous. The heart is deceitful above all else, and we drink down sin like it was water, etc. From Genesis to Revelation, it paints a very bleak but realistic picture of man, and that is to me what you're describing right now. We've lost that. And so that's not being preached. Human beings are not perceived in that category. Certainly not by the world, but even in churches, we don't see human beings as evil as they really are. And so, on the one hand, we don't see them as deserving of hell, and so we start to waver on our belief in hell and our belief of whether or not someone should go to hell, or whether or not our nice grandma who didn't love Jesus, but she was really nice, and she was always, good to us on Christmas and things like that. Is she really in hell? And so that, of course, it's a truncated gospel, not only because of how it views man, but what Christ came to do, and that's what you started out by saying, which is exactly right. So if Christ came to save humans who are basically good, but they just needed a little correction here and there, then it makes Christ's mission to earth seem very weak and shallow and quite puny and pathetic, really, that he would even be needed. And so what we have today.
Let's pick up right where you left off, because we have to go to the midway break. And folks, please be patient, as this break always is longer, the one in the middle, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required of the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other local things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida, geographically. And while they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as possible provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And when you can't actually purchase their products or use their services or visit their churches, please at least reach out to them, contact them, and thank them for sponsoring the show if you do love the show. At the very least, please do that so our advertisers know that you are listening and that you are appreciative of where they're spending their hard-earned money. Because we rely upon our advertisers to exist. Never forget that. We cannot continue on as a program without the finances provided by our sponsors. Also, use this time to send in questions to our guests, Ryan Denton and Jerry Doris, on key elements of true evangelism, and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover
what to include in worship, and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Pasolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, So don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this show. Without their continued advertising on our program, we would likely have to go off the air because we could not bear the loss of the finances that come through their ad campaigns. So please remember that when you are looking to purchase books, when you are looking to purchase gifts for those you love, please make your very first stop, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor because you're making one of our advertisers very happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they print and they sell the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present, and you can never go wrong. And I don't mean that in a flippant way. I don't mean that as hyperbole or exaggeration or flattery. You really can't go wrong purchasing a book from solid-ground-books.com, because all of their books are scripturally faithful and solidly reformed. At solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I want to thank all of you, the many, many, many of you who have been purchasing books from them and who have been telling Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, that you heard about that wonderful publishing ministry from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He has been contacting me and has been thrilled with the number of sales that he has been receiving from our audience. Many, many people he had never heard from before who are identifying Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as their source for discovering solid-ground-books.com. So I want to thank all of you from the depths of my heart who have been purchasing books from them and telling them about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you have not yet purchased books from them, or it's been a while, please revisit solid-ground-books.com and begin purchasing books today, even with the Easter holiday coming up or any other occasion where it's a good opportunity to buy a Christian book, even for a lost person, and give it to them. God has many times used good, solid, biblically faithful Christian books to lead the lost to Christ. So include the lost in your gift giving when you're purchasing from solid-ground-books.com. Include the lost along with your brothers and sisters in Christ and along with yourself as you replenish your own library. At solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when purchasing from solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to our guests today, who are Ryan Denton and Jerry Doris, who are discussing key elements of true evangelism, I want to remind you folks that if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, you want to mail in a check the old-fashioned way to a real physical address, then when you look at your screen after you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, you will see a physical address where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we certainly could use your advertising dollars. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and I will gladly help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. One thing I always try to remember to remind you of, I don't want my listeners siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where you are a member. Please never do that. Don't, in other words, punish your church financially by blessing us financially. And also, if you are really struggling to survive and giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio right now would be putting you and your family in further financial peril. Well, those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. So don't do anything that would interrupt or give a back seat to providing for your church and family. Those are commands, clear commands in Scripture to provide for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command in Scripture, but if you love this show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money that you use for recreational purposes, you have extra money that's collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money that you intend to use for benevolent purposes, and again, you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, please help us. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate frequently and donate generously. As generously as possible. We thank all of you from the depths of our hearts who have been donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, some of you going all the way back to 2005 when we first launched, and some of you are new donors. I will never be able to thank you enough. I can't even come up with the words to thank you enough. I am so grateful to you and to God for you, not only because of the finances that you provide to keep us on the air, but the encouragement, the enormous encouragement that I receive from your loyalty and your faithfulness, and you're loving this show so much that you use a portion of your hard-earned money to help us exist. Thank you so much. And for those of you who have not yet given, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you're not even aware of one where you live, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have biblically faithful churches on extensive lists all over the globe. I may be able to help you find a church no matter where in the world you live. So if you are in need of a good church, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Sometimes I have helped people find churches that were only a minute or two from their houses and they didn't even know these churches existed. I've helped people all over the planet Earth find churches, so that may include you if you send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guests, Ryan Denton and Jerry Doris, on key elements of true evangelism. And that's chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Ryan, I kind of interrupted you in mid-sentence before the break because I had to break away. Do you have anything further to add? We were discussing right before the break how often, tragically, too often, in modern evangelism, the whole concept of sin, the whole concept of repentance, the whole concept about warnings of damnation are absent from evangelism. It's not even evangelism at all. If you could just pick up where we left off.
Sure, yeah. Quick reminder, Chris, Jerry had a pressing pastoral matter that he had to take care of.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So he won't be with us the second hour. But there was an email, and yeah, you can check that later. But anyway, so he texted me, said send everyone their regards, and he was blessed to be on. So, so what we were talking about was the depravity of man, and I think that's really the heart of the issue. And like I said, for me, that was the most convincing thing for. Let's say for Calvinism, because it's so biblical as far as it's what the Bible says about man, and then of course the interpretation of that by Calvin and other Reformed theologians. But if you look at who man is, because they're radically depraved and they don't seek God and they're dead in their trespasses and sins and things like that. Well, that's where the gospel comes in, like you mentioned before the break. That's exactly at the point of contact where we bring the gospel to people who are dead in their sins. And what's interesting, and one thing that I think a lot of times we don't perhaps think of is, and I'm talking as Reformed people, considering that men are totally depraved or radically depraved, then how is it that we can communicate certain things that are true to them, if they're dead in their sins, and that's because they're made in God's image. So that's the point of contact that we have with the lost. They're made in God's image. Sin has radically disturbed that image and removed a lot of that, but there's still a trace of that in every human being. And so, when we go to them with the gospel, this is the difference between us and, let's say, a more unbiblical theology goes, because we recognize right off the bat that these people, unless God is saving them, they're going to see the preaching of the cross as foolish to those who are perishing. And so that's why when we go to them and we have the gospel, we know that if they're going to be saved, it's God who's doing it. It's God who's going to regenerate them, who's going to save them. But that's also why we don't have to rely on gimmicks and pragmatism. We don't have to rely on just the like you mentioned, the emotionalism of altar calls and things like that. Because it's the Word of God that's going to do it. It's the Word of God alone that saves them.
Now, you mentioned something that I think is wrongly used by some who are Reformed. There is an element amongst us, as you are probably fully aware, where a church or a pastor might believe that using or expressing emotion in preaching, the appropriate raising of the voice, the thundering of the voice from a pulpit, that kind of thing is inappropriate because it is just another way of manipulating people's emotions. I wholeheartedly disagree with that. Spurgeon, who was a thoroughgoing Calvinist, wholeheartedly disagreed with that. Obviously, George Whitefield disagreed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we believe that this is, as far as homiletics, very appropriate? In fact, I think an element of the best of preaching is when a preacher, evangelist, is not just in a dry fashion stating facts in an impassionate way, in a way that demonstrates he even if it's not true, it gives the picture, the impression that he does not really love what he's talking about. He doesn't think it's very important because he's talking about things like he's reading the manual on how to repair a blender or something. It's just devoid of any true concern for the hearer's souls. If you could.
So when you think of any of us Christians, going back to the passage in Matthew 28, where they're worshiping Christ, worship in itself is an act that's not dry. Even if even if it's just me, like beside my fireplace and nobody's in the room, and I might not be, you know, exclaiming things with reverie and loud and everything else, but when I'm thinking about Christ and I'm reading scripture, there's an element in me that's being drawn away. It's being drawn into what I'm reading. It's being drawn into the God that I worship whenever I pray or whenever I speak about God, etc. And, of course, in a sense, I mean, that's just part, you know, that's the way God made us. We are emotional people. We do respond to certain things with passion and emotion. And, you know, the tension is between, okay, well, and you know what, this reminds me of, Augustine, and Augustine's view of music is kind of, it might be helpful here because he saw, Augustine was so, so moved by music that it became a distraction when it came to what was like the words in the music. And so he would notice that for himself, the words would drive him to passion. The truth of what was being said was causing that emotional response, I guess. It wasn't devoid of that. And so if you think of like an altar call, for instance, an altar call is very interesting because of the music. It's not the words. It's the buildup. It's the music. It's the mood. It's the lighting. It's everything besides the content that's being conveyed. And so I would say that's the difference. You know, when George Whitfield is out there preaching, and you're right, he's gesticulating and he's saying things that cause actors to weep, you know, and the guy was filled with passion, but it in part was the words that he was conveying that was driving that passion. And so the words being truth. And partly, I mean, again, it's the personality of the guy. You know, I think it would also be, I'm with you totally. I mean, it's nice to see passion when it comes to worship and preaching. But at the same time, you know, I find that some personalities are perhaps just a little more dry. And so it would seem kind of funny for someone who has a drier personality to try to all of a sudden be like George Whitfield, you know, if it was artificially done. But I think it goes back to the way God made us and the way that we have, we are emotional beings, but it's about what is driving that emotion is what I would say. And so, you know, when it comes to biblical evangelism or biblical preaching in contrast to unbiblical evangelism or unbiblical preaching, the difference would be that biblical evangelism, biblical preaching is word driven when it comes to the emotion. Whereas the other is accessory driven. It's things outside of the word that's driving that passion, if that makes sense.
Yes, and we have a listener who happens to be a faithful and generous listener who supports Iron Sharp and Zion Radio financially on a monthly basis. His name is Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina. And Grady says, "Greetings, brothers. It's always astonishing when I'm sharing the gospel with someone and they find out I'm a Calvinist, and they say they didn't know we believe in sharing the gospel. Why wouldn't we? We don't know who the elect are. My question, however, is something that I just had happen in the last couple of weeks. I've never had a problem sharing with Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to my house, but last week I got a letter from one. I know that they're told not to read any other literature, but do you think I should send a letter back with the gospel?" Excellent question, Grady, and guess what? I got a letter too. It's a new tactic or a new thing they're doing, but the address that person gives as their return address, I guarantee you, if you Google it, it's the local Kingdom Hall. It's not that person's address. So if you want to actually send that person a tract or something and just pray that they're not going to throw it out immediately, because that's what they're going to be told to do, I would Google the person's name and the city and state where you live. You never know. Or look it up on whitepages.com, and you might get an address. And I would mail, and hopefully it's the same person that sent you the the letter, but mail them something in that way. But do you have any comments about the idea itself, Ryan, about, you know, even if he was certain the address was a legitimate one, should you send literature to them knowing or send a letter back with the gospel to a person like this, a Jehovah's Witness or anyone else?
Somebody's going to read it, is my thought. Whether it is someone at the top or someone who's on the ground, I mean, somebody's going to have to read it to vet it. And so, you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, the guy might read it and get saved. And I mean, who knows? I mean, all kinds of things can happen when you share the gospel. So I would encourage that. There was a guy I know that what he does is he gets the, like the junk mail in the mail, and it comes with like the return envelopes, and you put something in it, you know, various things. And so he puts a gospel track in it, seals it up because the postage is already paid for. So he puts a gospel track in it, seals it up, and sends it back. And so, you know, somebody's going to encounter that track in one form or another. So, yeah, however, I mean, that's a great way.
Well, thank you, Grady. And as far as, and of course, evangelism is a separate thing that is not always preaching. There is a unique form of declaration of truth from a pulpit by a preacher to a congregation that should include evangelism, but it's not all evangelism. So what would be the thing that sets apart evangelism from that? I think that all preaching includes evangelism, but not all evangelism is necessarily preaching, because evangelism would even include sitting next to a stranger on a bus and telling them about the Lord, telling them about the need for the cross, etc. But if you could give your own comments here.
Yeah, and even like Grady just mentioned with the gospel tracts, I mean, that's in a sense evangelism when you're handing out gospel tracts or when someone's reading the gospel tract, because it's just, I mean, evangelism is conveying the cross to a human being, to a lost person. You know, it's the word is actually in Acts 8, it's gospelizing. And so it's just, you know, literally sharing Christ. And the way I look at it is whenever the content is shared, the content of the cross, then, I mean, that's evangelism. And again, I think we try to complicate it, and it's really a simple thing. Evangelism is very simple as far as the idea, the definition of it, and it's sharing the gospel with the lost, period.
Amen. And one of the things that we have mentioned before, but I think it bears repeating, is that in history, a lack of belief or a denial of, and even maybe an opposition to, Reformed theology, Calvinism, the doctrines of grace, it really robs a person of, if they're logically consistent, that is, it robs a person of persistence and patience in evangelism, doesn't it? Because when you rely too much on the understanding that your oratory capabilities or your knowledge or your manner of evangelizing, and on top of that, the person's will and the person's interests and tastes and circumstances in life, to whom you are evangelizing, if you have a worldview and a theology that says those things are the ultimate determiners of when a person and what person will embrace the gospel, you're going to be lacking typically in the patience to continue and persevere in trying to win them, because we know, as Reformed people, that his elect, come out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We know that his word shall never return void, and we have that extra added confidence that his elect are out there, and they will emerge from the sea of humanity, the sea of the reprobates. They will emerge out of that eventually, and they will come to Christ. And we just have to keep pressing on and moving forward and never becoming weary of our well-doing, as it were. Am I making sense here?
Yeah. Discouragement, I think, is the big difference, you know, between this discouragement and pride also between a reformed person who's evangelizing and an Arminian. And of course, that's a generalization, but it, you know, seems to be correct because, like you mentioned, a reformed person, the discouragement, especially in the times that we're living in, I mean, we are not living in a revival climate right now. You know, I mean, we hope at one point there is a somewhat of a climate like that, but at least in the West today, it's you're not seeing just a huge amount of people being saved, especially with the biblical gospel. And so, what keeps us motivated? What keeps us going? Well, first of all, again, I evangelize primarily to glorify God. And secondly, I know that Christ has sheep out there who will most definitely be saved. They will be saved. That's a fact. And so that keeps me going despite whatever, however many zeros I put up on the board whenever I go out and evangelize. I mean, I'm going to continue doing it because, and by the way, something that the man in North Carolina referred to very briefly, talking about how people say, well, why would we evangelize as Calvinists? And there's many reasons, but number one, to glorify God. Number two, it's a command. I mean, God commands us to do it, and we want to be obedient to that. Number three, God himself did it. You know, God himself evangelized. And so we're imitating God. We're imitating Christ when we do that. Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Number four, it's a great privilege to be able to evangelize, that God would use means. He uses human beings sharing the gospel to lost people to actually convert people. That's astonishing because the human beings are very fallible. You know, they don't have all the answers. They don't always say the right thing. But that's the point, because whenever someone does get converted, God gets the glory for it. And so that's why when I mentioned pride as the second difference, when I'm looking at event, or when I'm looking at conversion as something that the human being has to decide to do, well, if that person decides to do it, I'm going to, in part, chalk up the reason to something I said, something I did, something like you mentioned, my oratory, my knowledge, as opposed to saying this person was dead in their sin. They went from being a God hater to a lover of God. They went, you know, they were not seeking God. All these things. I realize it's a miracle that only God can do whenever somebody gets converted. I have, in a sense, I have no part in their actual conversion, although I was a means to that, because I'm a vessel for God. But it's all about God doing it through me in their lives so that they get saved. So, it keeps us humble because we realize that only God can do it.
And going back to something that bears repeating, when a non-Calvinist or an anti-Calvinist says, why do you even waste your time evangelizing if God has this thing all rigged? Who's going to be saved? Who's going to be lost? Well, not only does he command it, but it's the means he uses, as we've addressed. And also, we could be deprived of witnessing those about whom we care, those whom we love, witnessing them come to Christ, if we do not participate in evangelizing them. Am I making sense here? I mean, if they are the elect, they're going to be saved, but they may come to Christ, in some part of the country or world where we don't hear about it, and they may die without us ever knowing that they came to Christ. We may be robbing ourselves of that peace. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and well, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, God could have technically, I guess, converted people by writing the gospel, like in the sky or something, like an airplane, you know, and the smoke behind it. God, maybe he could have dropped gospel tracts around the world. You know, I mean, God could have done any of these things, technically. I mean, he's capable of doing that. But in another sense, he's not, because he's made it clear that the means by which people are saved is by hearing the gospel or coming across the gospel from a human being conveying that to them. And so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How will they hear without a preacher? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And whenever you look at Paul's letters, and in fact, in my Even If None, that book, and then also I have a new book coming out with RHB in April called 10 Modern Evangelism Myths, I point out the same thing in that book, that when you go through Paul's letters, most of Paul's letters, if not all of Paul's letters, at some point show something like, when you heard us speaking the gospel or preaching the gospel, you received it in faith. You know, when you heard this, you believed it. And so he's talking always about how these people have heard it and they believe it. And so what he's doing there, and this is, of course, the Paul who wrote Romans 9-11. You know, I mean, this is the ultimate reform passage, but that passage itself is an evangelism passage. And he's talking about how, you know, he would wish himself a curse so that his people could receive the faith. I mean, he himself would have been a curse, you know, if it would have meant that they could be saved. So this guy's heart broke for these people. He's writing the most reformed passages in the Bible, but he's an evangelist, he's a missionary, he's an apostle, of course. But the point is that the two go together, because he recognizes that God uses human beings to save people, and if someone's going to get saved, it's because someone has to go to that person with the information of the cross, because natural revelation cannot give it to him. Special revelation about Jesus Christ is what converts people, and that's where we come in. That's the way God's set it up. And so, you know, we bow to that, and we respond to that.
Amen. We have to go to our final break right now. It'll be a lot faster than the other ones. If anybody has any questions that they'd like to ask, please send them in immediately, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is our email address. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com, ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thank you.
My name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser, Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our last segment of today's interview with Ryan Denton. We were originally joined also by Jerry Doris, and now Ryan is going to be my guest solo for the remaining portion of the show due to an important appointment that Pastor Doris had. But I'd like you, Ryan, to, before we go into any more listener questions, I want you to really summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today, especially if it might be something that we didn't have a chance to bring up in other interviews on similar issues.
Well, yeah, I would again point out that there are reasons why Calvinists evangelize or should evangelize. Jerry mentions historically that the tradition is, because it comes from the Bible, there's a long line of Reformed believers who have always seen evangelism as a priority, and as Christians we should also. But it's not just historical, of course. It's the Bible gives us reasons why we should evangelize, and a few that we forgot or haven't mentioned was number one, evangelism will enrich your prayer life. In other words, when I go out and I encounter the lost with the gospel, like you mentioned earlier, with our lost relatives or lost coworkers, and you know, when we're actively evangelizing, we're going to have a more fervent reason to pray because we'll see how hopeless these things really are without God moving. And so it's going to enrich our prayer life. It's going to help sanctify us. That's another one. It's going to help us become more like Christ as we're in the battle. And a lot of times you'll see yourself, or at least I do, act in the flesh, you know, when I'm engaging a lost person, just because of the nature of it. You know, it's difficult to, you know, things get heated or intense. And I think we see this like on Facebook. You know, I mean, how many times on Facebook do we say something and then we think about it and we're like, oh man, you know, that was, I don't know why I said that. Or, you know, all of these unfortunate wars that seem to take place on Facebook, just sometimes with evangelistic topics. And so
I never have regretted anything that I ever wrote on Facebook. I'm only kidding.
Yeah. You and me both, Chris. That's right. We're the only one. Yeah, but, you know, it just helps us to be more sharp, sharper and more refined in our Christian walk to evangelize.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who has a comment/question. He says, I've been hearing from those ministers of the gospel whom I respect most that one of the primary causes they believe in the downfall of Ravi Zacharias, who has been known as one of the world's greatest evangelists and has no doubt led many to Christ, is that he fell into such wickedness because he was not known as a churchman. He was not known as somebody who believed a local church was a major element in his life. There is nothing really all that well known about his connection to a local church. Don't you think that that is an important aspect that every evangelist has to remind himself of, that we are not to be just mavericks traveling around spreading the gospel thinking that is sufficient, that we don't need a local body where we are connected, where we are accountable, where we are faithful members, and that evangelism is just an important function and a primary role of every Christian in one extent or another, but the connection to the local church is of primary importance. Would you agree with that?
Sure, yeah. That's something Scott Smith and I actually wrote a whole chapter about in our book, A Certain Sound, and we were talking about open-air preachers and the danger of being cut loose from any kind of church body. Like you mentioned, no accountability, and really, too, I mean, on a practical level, for an evangelist not to be tied into a church is, it's kind of odd in itself, because it's like, okay, what is the purpose of evangelizing? Well, if someone gets saved, what are you going to do? I mean, you know, are you going to tell them to go be an itinerant evangelist? It's not to say, actually, I say itinerant evangelist. There's itinerant evangelists who are very consistent in their church, like Paul Washer comes to mind. And so it's not to say itinerant evangelism is always without a church, but you know, I think the parachurch ministry that Ravi Zacharias also had, I mean, and of course it was so big. I mean, it seemed like it reminds me of it in a sense, kind of like, you know, like Billy Graham. And of course, Billy Graham didn't, as far as we know, when doing those things, but it's similar, because we mentioned earlier that with Billy Graham, I mean, he comes, he does his thing, he leaves, and these people are just like, what do we do now? And they usually wind up, I mean, Roman Catholic, and who knows what kind of church they're joining. And so, I think for multiple purposes, both personally and when it comes to evangelism, we need to be connected to churches and working with them and trying to funnel Christians into them and disciple them, and because it's all the body. I mean, everybody, we as evangelists need pastors and teachers. We also need to be equipped in certain areas, and we certainly need accountability, and we certainly, and here's the other thing. I mean, we should also be equipping saints. You know, I mean, evangelists too have a role to play in the church, not just outside the church, and so they can be useful to help train other people who want to evangelize and things like that. So, there's a plethora of reasons why the church is important, and it's Christ's bride, and this is the way that He's instituted things, and it's healthy, And it's not only healthy, but it's a mandate that we have to be part of a church.
Amen. Well, we are out of time, and I want to make sure that I repeat your website and also Pastor Jerry Doris's website for Reformation Church of Shelbyville, Kentucky. First of all, Ryan Denton's ministry, Christ in the Wild Ministries, can be found at christinthewild.com, christinthewild.com, and Reformation Church of Shelbyville, Kentucky can be found at refchurch.com, R-E-F, an abbreviation for Reformation, church.com, refchurch.com. Thank you so much, Ryan, for being such an excellent guest. I look forward to your return. Extend my gratitude to Jerry Doris the next time you speak. Hope to have him back on as well. And I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.